The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, Craig, thank you. Well, we just heard from Jerry Schaap in Oregon. He's having the good life. He couldn't be happier. He's well-fed. He's got a great life up there. He wishes you had his life. Well, I would be willing to wager that there are currently more than 110 million people who would be satisfied with a slice of Jerry's good life. These are people who have been what is called forcibly displaced from their homes, from their home countries. Many of them aren't even sure of where their next meal is going to be. They're not sure how they're going to survive. Well, the good news is that there are humanitarian organizations such as ShelterBox out there to help those in need. And since its inception, it has helped more than 3 million people worldwide. Yet you say you've never heard of ShelterBox. Well, it just so happens we have the president, Kerry Murray, standing by to join us to talk about the work and the need. With that in mind, we welcome Kerry Murray to Hometown Radio. Kerry, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks for the work that you do. How do you explain ShelterBox to people? What's the mission?
Sure. So ShelterBox is a global humanitarian relief organization. We're a nonprofit, and we're working to address one of the biggest issues that's facing our world today. And as you mentioned, it's this massive displacement of people. So today, there are more than 110 million people who've been driven from their homes. And what we see is that it's the largest and it's the biggest in recorded history. And so as a relief organization, we focus on one of your basic needs, and that is shelter. And at ShelterBox, we provide emergency shelter and essential items to set up a household when you've lost everything and you've been displaced from your home in an instant. And that's either by a disaster, so that could be an earthquake, a cyclone, a hurricane, or it could be violence and conflict like you've seen across our world, especially over the past couple of years with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. You're seeing a massive displacement right now in Gaza, and there are tens of millions of people that are displaced every single year due to disaster and protracted conflict situations.
I neglected to mention that ShelterBox is close to home. You're based right here on the Central Coast.
We are. So we have our USA headquarters, which is in Santa Barbara, California. So we are on the Central Coast, and we have a team at work, and we have staff, volunteers, ambassadors all across the nation, and a lot of supporters in San Luis Obispo, I'll tell you that. So many people who support us there. So thank you for that.
What's your website, Kerry?
It's shelterboxusa.org. And you had,
No, go ahead.
You had asked about what we do. And so while we provide the emergency shelter, one of the things that we've done for so many years is the basic things that people need to sustain their life. And that's the real concept of how we got started, was what are the things that you need to sustain your life if you lose everything in an instant? And so we provide emergency shelter, and that could be tented shelter. It could be tarpaulins to create a single room structure or repair a home that's been damaged. But we also provide the essentials for life to set up a household. And I think, you know, even on the Central Coast, we're not immune to disasters. You've lost power. So we provide basic things like waterproof solar lanterns. You've had contamination of the water source. We provide water purification units and containers to store clean water. We also provide just the basics, so sleeping mats, blankets, also basic tools, a kitchen set. So if you will, a survival, a customized survival package for families who've lost everything.
I'm curious, because you've been doing ShelterBox for almost a decade. You did other work before that. Explain your personal involvement in this field of work. What brought you into this? What keeps you going?
So, well, I had a corporate life before this. I worked for a large pharmaceutical company, both in the U.S. and Europe. And in the end of 2009, I was sent on an assignment to the Central Coast, and it was to work for a medical relief organization that's based in Goleta. And I came on a six-month assignment to really apply business skills to the nonprofit that had been struggling really financially and doing extraordinary work. And I was a couple of months in my assignment on loan from the company I was sent, and a massive earthquake hit Haiti in January 2010. And I think many people heard around the world heard about that earthquake. It killed a quarter of a million people. It displaced millions. And the organization I was lent out to had been working there for 40 years. And so I went to Haiti, and my whole life changed. And I got to see really firsthand, the poorest people in the country, in the Western Hemisphere, and people who had absolutely nothing. And in an instant, so much devastation to those folks. And I realized just how important nonprofit organizations are to really helping people recover after disaster with just the basics: food, water, shelter, access to medical care. And it was in those months preceding the earthquake that I made the decision to really change my life. And I found that I could apply everything I learned in my business life, and I could apply it to nonprofit work. And it's incredibly fulfilling work. It is absolutely essential for these communities that we're working in, where there are few organizations helping, and oftentimes they don't have the same safety net we have here in the U.S. when disasters happen. And it's just the basics people need for survival. And so I started working for that organization, and in 2015, I made the move to ShelterBox, and it's been nearly a decade, and it's just extraordinary work that we've been doing, and there's an ever-growing need in our world today.
We're in conversation with Carrie Murray. She is the president of ShelterBox. So much I want to ask you, but I want to make sure we have time to talk about Ukraine, because you've been deployed there not once but twice. Why the personal involvement? Why did you choose to go to Ukraine?
Yeah, so initially when the invasion first happened in Ukraine, I went in the end of February of 2022 to Poland. And I was actually there to do a few things. One, we were hearing about the fastest and largest forced displacement crisis since World War II. And we saw it firsthand. And one, we go there to assess the needs. We don't just send things in. We go and determine what sort of displacement crisis these families are in. And at that point in time, we saw millions of people were fleeing from eastern Ukraine to western Ukraine, and then many of them into Poland and obviously into other parts of Europe. And we saw that many of these were women and children and elderly, and they had massive needs in the moment, leaving and fleeing their country with little more than the clothes on their back. But then you had a massive internal displacement in Ukraine as well, very different types of needs. So initially, on behalf of ShelterBox, I was there with our team assessing what the needs are. What do people need in the moment? And it's always different. And so being able to work alongside and with the people we serve is absolutely essential. So I went in February of 2022, and then I returned back to Ukraine. And actually, at this point, a year ago, I was in Kyiv. And what we were doing was we had many projects underway. We actually just wrapped up our sixth project in Ukraine. And we were helping people who were starting to return home, many of them in damaged homes, and many people still displaced from the eastern occupied areas around Donetsk, and were making their homes in Kyiv. And so we were really there to deliver and bring essentials people needed to just survive the winter at that point. So the needs ebb and flow. They change over time. They often change with the season. And so we are an organization that is boots on the ground, working alongside the people we're serving in the field. And so oftentimes I will travel to the field to work alongside the response team.
How do you decide, though, when to get involved? And take a minute, please, and explain the logistics. So you have these boxes, you have these supplies. How do you get them to the people in need?
Sure. So, well, as you can imagine, it's a massive logistical issue to move materials all around the world. We are a model of what we call pre-positioning, and pre-positioning aid items all across the world in the regions we're likely to be working in. We often draw down on those aid items in emergencies. A good example of that is one of the most endemic nations, it's an island nation in the world, to typhoons, and that's the Philippines. Well, we had been responding there so frequently because it's endemic to these disasters and displacing millions that we ended up registering as a nonprofit. We have a warehouse in Cebu, Philippines, and we pre-position about 8,000 households of our shelter kit items that are ready to go when disasters happen. And so we can move much faster, much more efficiently in the areas that are likely to be hit by major events like typhoons. But also, there's a massive movement underway at ShelterBox and in many NGOs about really reducing our footprint and really working as sustainably as we can. And so we often also procure items locally in the markets that we're working in, helps stimulate the local economy, but also reduces our footprint in not having to move and have air transport across the world. So there are times we are bringing in aid items, and there are also a combination of locally procured items as well. So in the case of Ukraine, oftentimes we will procure things that we can get locally as well. It could be hygiene items, it could be kitchen sets, it could be solar lanterns. So it really depends. But we don't have one main warehouse where we're shipping everything out of. We have hubs across the world.
How can our listeners support ShelterBox? What do you need, Carrie?
Well, the obvious thing is our organization has been growing each and every year to meet the humanitarian needs, and they are massive. And not any one organization can do it. As a nonprofit, we rely on charitable donations and support. And that is so we can be ready. We can be ready with tents and tarps and kitchen sets, solar lanterns, and the essentials that a family needs to start the recovery process when they've lost everything. And so donations are a massive, massive part of how we are able to do what we do. Also, volunteers. We have an army of volunteers all across the world, and they are the ShelterBox response team members that are boots on the ground when disasters happen. They are some of the most highly trained people in emergency response, and most of them are volunteers for our organization. We also have ambassadors across the nation as well. And so, you know, I'm a big believer in everyone has something to contribute. Mm. And whether it's your time, whether it's your talent, whether it's your resources, it really takes a village, a global village, to make this work possible. And so the support is vital. And you can direct listeners really to shelterboxusa.org, our website, to find out ways to be involved or even to make a donation.
All right. Carrie Murray is with us, doing impressive work day in and day out on behalf of ShelterBox, where she has been the president for nearly a decade. We'll come back and pick up the conversation. I'm Dave Congleton on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show, where we're continuing our conversation with Carrie Murray from ShelterBox, based right here on the Central Coast, helping millions of people around the world. Carrie, as we continue the conversation, we've got Earth Day in April and a lot of focus on the environment. Without getting controversial, I'm reminded that a lot of the displacement that we talked about in the first segment is being caused by climate change. These are mm-hmm. climate refugees, mm-hmm. are they not?
Many of them are, yes, by no fault of their own.
Which means that you're going to see even more people displaced, and the need is going to be even greater. for the work that you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, given all that, how much of what ShelterBox does involves green, what we call green work, green efforts?
Well, I would say environmental sustainability is really embedded in absolutely everything we do. And at ShelterBox, we're doing our best really to learn and really improve our practices so we can be as environmentally sustainable as possible. And this helps ensure that we're not adding to the issues faced by the displaced people that we're working to help. And so there's lots that we do to mitigate our environmental impact. One of the largest has been reducing plastics in our aid items. This came about years ago when there was a ban on single-use plastics in Kenya, and we were removing all of the plastic pieces. Well, now we've in turn started to do that across the world, and every year we've reduced the plastic pieces in our aid items by hundreds of thousands of pieces, and that's things like plastic bags and wrappers that wrap our kitchen sets and water jugs and shelter kit items. And so we're doing a lot around really plastics and reduction there. We're also doing a lot around reusing and recycling. So, you know, things that we're bringing in through the supply chain, take wooden pallets. Recently in Morocco, where we were responding to earthquake-affected families, we took the wooden pallets that were used for shipping, and families received those, and they repurposed them into bed bases. And so we provided blankets and lightweight mattresses, and they actually were able to create bases out and reuse those items that were used in shipping. So there's a lot that we're doing also around local procurement. So where we can help the local economy, we can minimize the freight distances and reduce the need for air travel. We're producing things locally in those local markets. So it could be bamboo, it could be mud brick, it could be timber or corrugated iron. So that's really significantly helping reduce our carbon footprint as well. So we have a variety of initiatives underway that we are exploring, and we'll continue to learn. But one thing we know is, like, good environmental practices from even humanitarian organizations are going to help protect the local environments we're working in, and they're going to improve the resiliency of those communities. So we all have a responsibility, and we all can do better, and we can do more. And so that's some of the things that we have underway at ShelterBox, and, you know, sustainability is really a critical and vital consideration when responding to each and every disaster.
On the Stolberg Law text line, a listener is wondering whether or not ShelterBox is currently or planning on getting involved in Gaza.
Yes, so great question. I will say ShelterBox is apolitical or non-religious. We respond where the humanitarian needs are greatest, and global conflicts have created an absolutely unprecedented need for shelter, and that includes Gaza. So you have over 1.7 million people displaced now. You have over 80% of the buildings damaged or destroyed. And yes, ShelterBox has three separate projects in the works. Our first project is actually on the move. It's joining the queue, and it is added as part of the convoy of trucks that will be really entering with in collaboration with the Egyptian Red Crescent Society, and they oversee all the aid entering into through the Rafah border. And so we have an initial shipment that's going in. And these are everything from shelter repair kits that we use in emergencies when people have damage to their homes. So it's tarps, ropes. We're providing blankets, mattresses, sleeping mats, hygiene packs, kitchen sets. And that will be the first project. And we have two more in the works that will actually be our tented shelter that's going in as well. And that is getting staged out of Egypt currently. And that is also a really critical part of our response. And then a third project that will be staged in warehousing in Jordan with our partnership Rotary in Jordan. And so, yes, we are responding. The needs are absolutely massive. This is something we actually are accepting charitable support for. This has been something that is now 6 months in. As you can see, the conflict has just displaced millions, and so many of these people that it's displaced are actually children. And so we work to prioritize the most vulnerable. And unfortunately, in this situation, there's so many children, millions that have been affected. And so we're going to be working to help the most vulnerable, and that includes supporting a lot of children. And we have some aid items that will go in that are specific to children, things like diapers.
Well, and I noticed from reading about your visits into Ukraine, you also saw a lot of displaced children. My point being that when we talk about 110 million displaced, a lot of these we're talking about children.
Yeah. So of the people displaced in our world today, 75% are women and kids when you look at these numbers. And we work to prioritize the most vulnerable. They're often children. They're often elderly, disabled, often pregnant and lactating women. And so we can't help everyone. We have to prioritize the most vulnerable. And right now in our world, unfortunately, one of the most dangerous places in our world, but one of the places where the needs are greatest is Gaza. So, yes, we are responding.
I'm glad that you are. I got about 90 seconds, Carrie. Let's remind folks, please, how they can support ShelterBox.
One is a charitable donation from helping us procure tents and tarps and kitchen sets and the vital aid items that families need to recover. People can make a donation at shelterboxusa.org. But there's also ways that people can serve by volunteering, especially here on the Central Coast. We have a headquarters in Santa Barbara. So listeners that would be interested in serving as a volunteer or an ambassador, there is information at the shelterboxusa.org website. Lots of ways that people can get involved.
We appreciate you joining us, and we appreciate that the work that you're doing. I hope that you will continue to be safe. Meanwhile, I've got 30 seconds for a final thought. Carrie Murray.
My final thought is I think we're all witnessing some of the largest displacement crisis of our generation. The numbers are the biggest we've ever seen. And it really takes a village to make a difference. And we need help. And we need people to know about these issues, to talk about them, care about them, and get involved. And as I said earlier, everyone has something to contribute. And at ShelterBox, we definitely need the support. We need volunteers. We need supporters. And we need people to share the work that we're doing. So, Dave, we're so appreciative of you helping to raise visibility of this work and just supporting the effort. So thank you so much.
All right, Carrie, thank you. We'll talk again. We got news, traffic, weather. 5 o'clock hour starts now.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.